worship you, Jesus. We honor you tonight, God. You are great and you're greatly to be praised, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thankful to be in the presence of a king tonight. And he is here. God bless you. You can be seated. It's a special night because we get to have with us Pastor. That's what I call him over there in Scotland, you know. Pastor and Sister Beek. And they are missionaries to the UK and the Channel Islands, specifically, though, pastoring New Life Church in Glasgow, Scotland, where, as you know, I had to go away from you for a while. But I got to be with them. And they're here tonight to present their burden and their passion for the mission field that God has called them to. And they have two children that help them over there. And I believe they're in children's church tonight, so they're not in here with us, but they are benefiting and being a blessing in there. And Kayla is 9 years old, and Alexa is 6 years old, and they truly are helpers with the work there in Scotland. Wednesday night, Bible study night, Kayla gets to take the offering. She stands up there pleased as punch to hold that thing too. So I hope you get to meet them either in the foyer after church, because they're a delight. You'll love getting to meet them. Coincidentally, both sets of parents for Pastor and Sister Beek are missionaries as well in the nation of Scotland. Their Brother Beek's parents are the missionaries in Edinburgh, and Sister Mary Catherine's parents are, of course, the Kellys in Glasgow. And so they are both missionary kids that are continuing the 30-year family tradition. Well, it's more than that. It's the family passion of missions work in the UK, and they have served on the mission field since 2007, assisting and ministering in local churches, pastoring in Glasgow, as I mentioned. They help in the Bible school there. Sister Mary Catherine teaches in the music department at the Bible school. They serve on the district and the national level. They are visionary and capable and anointed individuals, and we're pleased to have them here, proud to have them serving the constituency in Scotland. And I was able to, as I've mentioned, attend their church until I ran them off. I don't know what happened, but they came back while I was over there. No, they were officially appointed, and they came back to start their deputation travel, which is what they're doing here tonight, raising funds and presenting their mission and their burden and their passion. We're going to see a little bit of that and hear from them. But first of all, we're going to watch a video, so enjoy.
I'm James Beek. My family and I are appointed to the UK and the Channel Islands. UK is a beautiful place full of beautiful landscapes, large cities, with a population of over 68 million people, a very, very diverse culture. There is three main religions. However, there is 50% of that population that does not identify with any religion at all. My wife and I are so passionate about reaching these precious people. And over the last 10 years, we have been working in this country, seeing the hand of God move in many ways. For the last 3 years, we have been working in Glasgow, Scotland, and we've been the lead pastor there, where we have seen God do mighty and miraculous things in the transformation of people's lives. We've seen young ministers develop from just being saints in the church to becoming young men who would go and preach this precious gospel to whomsoever will. We've seen many people filled and baptized with the Spirit of God and knowing that their life has changed for the good. We have seen many people that would not just hear the Word of God, be a hearer of the Word of God, but become doers of the Word of God and take this precious gospel and go into the streets of any city willing to pray and do whatever the Lord was leading them to do. Mary Catherine and I are very eager to get back to the place of our calling. And we just want to thank each and every one of you for partnering with us in prayer and in giving. Thank you and God bless.
Amen. Let's give a hand clap of praise unto the Lord. He's doing great things around this world. Amen. I feel slightly under pressure after that introduction. Thank you so much, Sister Amber. We love you so much. Sister Amber was truly a blessing to the nation of the UK, not just in Scotland, but she worked her way around the UK. And she was a blessing, and We cherish the time that we had there with her. But God truly is doing great things in the UK. When my husband and I went over, were there as aid workers appointed in 2007, there was roughly around 35 churches throughout the whole of the UK. There are now close to 70. So God has doubled that, and we are planning for more. We are expecting for more in Jesus' name. On our table in the entrance, we do have some prayer cards if you'd like to join with us in prayer. One need that we're asking you to specifically pray for is we have entire cities of 2, 3, and 4 million people with no apostolic work. It can be very overwhelming just walking the streets, knowing that you're the only apostolic walking those streets. But as we don't go there to sightsee. Yes, there's lots of nice things to see and people to talk to. But we prayer walk as we're walking, going into the stores, going out for lunch. We prayer walk through those cities. So if you can join with us in prayer that God will begin to open doors before us and that we can just walk on through. And it won't be a coincidence, but it will be the miraculous power of God doing that in those cities. As the video said, 68 million people, lots and lots of people. Within the UK, there's 4 countries, and that's England, Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland. So lots of different cultures and traditions. Some people in this room probably came from that side of the world and now over here. So lots of history, if you like that kind of thing, castles and all that. Very beautiful, as I said. But the fun thing, as you travel throughout those countries, is all the different types of accents that you can hear. As mentioned, I was raised on the mission field, so that's where my accent comes from, born in Scotland. But if you travel in England, you might hear an accent that sounds like this. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So it doesn't sound like your typical St. Louis accent, whatever that sounds like, I don't know. But it can sound very different. That's just a generic accent. It can vary quite drastically. However, as you travel to the north, it changes quite a bit, a wee bit. And I'm going to read just a short story for you about the story of Zacchaeus. And this is in your typical Scottish accent. When Jesus went on into Jericho, there was this wee man called Zacchaeus, and he was the head taxman for the district, so he was quite rich. In fact, he was really loaded. But though he had plenty of money, he wasn't what you call a happy man, but he was dead keen to hear about this Jesus everyone was talking about. Zacchaeus being a wee man, he couldn't get near because he was so wee, so he decided to climb a sycamore tree beside the road to watch. When Jesus eventually came along, he spies Zacchaeus, and looking up, he shouts, "Hi there, wee man, come down, will you? I've decided to invite myself to your house for tea this afternoon." To say that wee Zacchaeus was fair chuffed was putting it mildly, but the rest of the folk weren't happy, by the way, that Jesus was gone to this man's house, who they called a crook. But already Zacchaeus was a changed man. He says to Jesus, "Lord, you see me? I'm going to give half my money to the poor, and I promise to look after all the folk I've cheated, so I will." Jesus turned into the crowd and told them to hold their wisht. This man was a sinner, but he's found peace at last. And that's the story of Zacchaeus, as some of you might have not heard it before. So it is English, just with a twist. We do use some different words for things. The enunciation of words can be different. And sometimes it can just sound like a big sing-song, like you're just listening to something singing. But it can be very interesting as you travel throughout the UK. As mentioned, we are on deputation at the moment, and we are thanking God because we are so close to finishing. We're only needing just a handful of partners, and we have this form here for your pastor. And if you don't know what a partner in missions is, partner in missions is when a church or an individual steps out in faith and sponsors us on a monthly basis. And I'm going to leave this one here for your lovely pastor. Just leave that there. And we do have some more of these if there's some individuals in this church that would like to do that on a personal level. And we also have some projects that we're raising funds for. These projects and funds go towards the Bible school evangelism efforts. And if you'd just like to give us a one-time donation, we are only needing roughly about 30 individuals to make a one-time donation of $100. And that will go directly towards that endeavor. And we do have forms. If you don't have that with you tonight, you can take a form and mail it in, or our head office is in St. Louis. You can just drive on in there and hand that in, or if you want to mail it. Or we do have a text to give program that's really straightforward. And if you don't have a phone, but you have a card and you're just like, I really want to give something, you can use my phone. I will let you use it for just a couple minutes. I'll be happy to show you how to do that. We do want to thank you as well for any She's for Christ or Mother's Memorial offerings that you have given. These efforts, they do help towards, they go towards missionaries as well. So thank you so much for that. And it's through your giving through finance, but also through prayer that God is changing things around this world. And I believe he's changing things here in the St. Louis area and your state as well. And these days, everyone wants to know where in the world they're from. How many people have done a DNA testing? Come on now. I've not, so I'm not going to put my hand up. But, you know, that's kind of the rage now. Everyone wants to know where they're from in the world. And I always like to say home is where your heart is. We may be from Africa, Asia, Europe, anywhere in this world you may be from your heritage. But where your heart is, that's where your home is. And our heart truly is in the UK. And it's with your sacrificial giving and your prayer that that's going to happen. We will return and we will see God do great things throughout that nation in Jesus' name. We have another video that we'd like to show to you. And as mentioned, we are involved with Harvest Bible College. Harvest Bible College is a fully accredited Bible college in Glasgow, Scotland. And we are so blessed that our family can be a ministry within that Bible school. We have some flyers on our table about an AIM education program. If there's anyone from this church that is interested, I know Sister Amber's been, I believe Brother Reaver's been. There's been several people come out of this church and the Willifords to teach in the Bible school. And it really is an impactful ministry that is not only affecting the UK, but it's affecting people around this world. In this video, you are going to see alumni that have not just gone home to sit on a pew. They've marked Bible school off their bucket list. They have gone home and they have impacted and been effective in ministry throughout this world. Please be blessed as you watch this video of Harvest Bible College and the impact it's having around this world.
And it's your calling, Lord, we answer to. It's your burden we bear. It's your cross we have taken up. Let the mantle fall. Let us pick it up. Let us go into the fields that are ripe with the harvest.
A shepherd or a pastor or an evangelist, a missionary, a preacher does not come in the diploma, it doesn't come in the ceremony, it comes from the Lord God Himself. It's hard work and it's unity. Every day, everywhere, every day, find a way to reach the lost, preach the truth, preach the gospel message. Wherever you go, preach, you will dedicate yourself to pass the cause on to those you influence, taking this to the next level, to the next generation, to the next city. Never give up. Keep going. Never give up. Keep going. Keep moving forward. And I charge you now to work. To work. I charge you now to work together in unity. You received a diploma and you accepted a challenge as the graduates of Harvest Bible College. It is my distinct honor to charge you into the sacred trust of the ministry of the Word of God. Your ministry is your call.
Amen. Can you clap your hands one more time unto the Lord? I truly never knew that, you know, in 2006 when I first went to Scotland and my first trip into the UK, that when the Lord put it on my heart to go to a country and do my best and give my heart, my soul, my life to Him, I didn't know I was going to only affect one place, but 30 different countries impacted with the gospel through Harvest Bible College. I mean, if I knew back then what I know now, I mean, I would have said it so easily. At one point, I even told the Lord, I said, call somebody else. This is a large task you're asking of me. But the Lord allowed me to do, and He forgave me for my insolence, and He allowed me to go there. And we've seen Harvest Bible College, not just the students, but the ministry, just go to different places. This year alone, we have four places that students went to that they are not from those countries, Japan, Portugal, Netherlands, and Turkey. Young students that are going from Harvest Bible College right over to there to work in those fields and to do the work of the Lord. And no questions asked. God called me. I'm going to go. I want to share this gospel. I don't know about you, but the Bible does tell us. It says that you shall know truth and truth shall set you free. Let me just tell you something about that. When you know truth, it's a revelation. And revelation cannot be contained. And so when you know it, you got to share it. And so when you know truth, it doesn't only set you free, but you reveal it to those around you, and it's going to set somebody else free from the things that the world has a hold on their life. Amen. I want to know truth, and I want to share truth with every fiber of my being. And I'm thanking the Lord for Harvest Bible College and the work of the United Kingdom and the things that he's doing and allowing us to do around this world. I also want to say a heartfelt thank you to this church for all the wonderful things you've done in the past and continue to do for Harvest Bible College. You're truly making a blessing. And please don't ever stop doing it, because you might not get to go there. You might not get to be there. But what you're doing with your prayers and your finance and your giving, you are impacting the world. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. All right. Praise God. It is so good to be here tonight with good friends of ours, the Williffords, especially Amber. And I used to tell my wife, I said, man, that girl can preach. And she's still to this day, you know, I mean, she's one of my favorites. Whenever she would preach, I'd get behind her. I loved it when Amber would preach for us in Glasgow, Scotland. She always blessed our church. And you know what? I never saw somebody so willing just to do whatever you would ask them to do. She would be willing to do it. And Amber, you impacted us just as much as you feel we impacted you. We love you, and we thank you for your sacrifice. To the Williffords, we love you so much. Thank you for allowing us to be here and impart and share. Can I just share one testimony with you, and then I want to bring the word tonight? One thing that's, you know, very near and dear to our hearts over there is starting brand new works. When I think 68 million souls, I think of the vastness. I think sometimes I neglect to pray for 68 million souls when I get down on my knees, because when you think that number, it's very, very heavy. It can become very intense to pray for 68 million souls. And so I often ask God, I say, God, if you don't give us a 68 million soul revival right away, just open up doors and allow us to start churches. And this is my fault tonight. I never told my wife, but before service today, I got an email that the latest report is that we have 82 churches and preaching points. So it's not 70, and forgive me, sweetheart, but it's 82 churches and preaching points that they've just reported in the last year. And it's been my prayer that we would have a release and a liberty. Now, last year while we were on deputation, we did leave specific instructions to our church, and we said, don't you stop pushing for the work of the kingdom of God. And I'm standing before you today to tell you that while we've been gone, our church has endeavored to start new preaching points, and three specific preaching points that we've got started. And they've done it without us being there. We just kind of left that passion. But they've gone for it because they're excited about what God is doing. And there's been a liberty like we've never seen before, because normally what we do is we face insurmountable issues with councils that don't want to rent us buildings, cities that don't want us to be there, you know, that have other churches and religions. And so when they hear Jesus' name or apostolics, they're like, well, we don't want you here. We don't need you here. We got our own church. And so we deal with those traditional attitudes and those type of things. But in Perth, one place that my wife and I have been praying very dearly for over 10 years, along with the Kellys, last year, Sister Jeanette, a student of Harvest Bible College, took some of our young people and some students, and they went to Perth. And they said, Brother Beek, we're going to go with the principle that God is going to give us an answer today. Now, my wife and I literally, this was over 8 years ago, walked through the streets of that city and were confronted by somebody that came up and said, we know who you are and we don't want you here. And that would happen time and time again. We would send other people to prayer walk. But that day, those students, along with Sister Jeanette, went there and they said, God, we need an answer whether you're going to open up the door in this city. Well, I'm glad to tell you today that they prayed the principle of one planeth, one watereth, but God give us the increase. And by the end of that day, when they felt like everything was going to just fall apart and they were going to have to come back again, a man greeted them around the corner and said, come with me. And when they walked around the corner not knowing what they were going to see or just not knowing what they were going to walk into, they walked to a place that said International Cafe. And the man says, come on inside. And for the very first time in over 10 years, he said, get up there. There's a microphone. There's a platform. Open your Bible and begin to teach us what's in the Word right there. My God. And my heart leaped and jumped for joy. I'm telling you, when we heard that testimony, I could have, I mean, I was air high-fiving every one of those young people. I said, go for it. And I'm just so ecstatic because we've not seen this kind of breakthrough like we've seen lately. If you ever go to the country of Scotland, I'm talking about there's a unique spiritual atmosphere that you will not face here in the United States. There's a liberty, a freedom of Christianity, which it seems like sometimes is being taken away, but there, I'm telling you, there's some strongholds on people, but you need to pray for us. God, give them more liberty. God, give them more open doors. Let them have that freedom to see more churches planted. We appreciate those prayers and pray with us that God can do those things and we'll give him glory together as he does it. Amen. I was speaking with Pastor Williford tonight and just today and over the couple of days, and he said to me, this is kind of a dangerous thing when you say this to a preacher. He said, you got liberty tonight. So I said, all right. I said, what time these folks need to be home? He said, well, we try to shut down about 8:30. I said, okay. So we'll see what happens here. But I do feel, I've been praying for the service tonight. And let me just tell you, I might not get to too many missionary testimonies, but I do feel a strong, specific word that the Lord wants me to share with you tonight. And a challenging word that I want to impart into your spirit, because I think that the Lord is on your side and he wants to do something in each and every one of your lives, especially in this church. And I feel that very strongly in the Holy Ghost. And so would you turn with me in your Bible to Ruth chapter verse 1. I'm going to read a few scriptures. So Ruth chapter 1 verse 16 to 19. And then you can follow along the screen because they have it there in the back. And we'll turn over to chapter 2 as well. Amen. Ruth chapter 1 verse 16 says it like this. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also if I ought but put to death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So the two went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? On to chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Going over to verse 9. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reaping. Go after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and has left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come to a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Verse 13, the last verse. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. There's a very unique story that is taking place here in this small book of the Bible. And I've heard many different messages preached in many different forms. But as I was reading it the other day, the Lord kind of just quickened my spirit about one part of this short story that I just shared with you. One scripture says that Ruth's hap was light on part of the field that she was in. And I don't know about you, but there's sometimes that we face insurmountable things in our lives. But I don't know about how you feel when those things come up against you or how they rise up and how you face them in those certain uncertain times. But I want to be affirmed tonight, and I want to affirm somebody else that God has not left us. God has not left us alone. Neither are we in the dark or are we out in the cold or in the wet. But God is for us and he is not against us. And so for the next few minutes, I want to speak to you about Ruth's hap. Would you pray and ask the Lord just to minister in this place for a moment? Lord Jesus, we love you. Thank you for what your word is, O God, and what it's done. Quick, powerful, and sharp, Lord, in our lives. We thank you for your spirit that we feel in this place. Truly, you know what you want to do and what you want to speak. Let it be yea and amen, O God. And everything that you need to do, let it be accomplished in this place. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen. Truly, I might have stumbled upon this thought because my wife and I have been on deputation for a while, and even though this is our first deputation in of 11 years being working in the mission field, I think we've learned a few things about what deputation really is. You can hear stories of what people go through, but until you go through it for yourself, you really don't know what it is. You just got to experience it. Well, I don't want you to experience that, but nonetheless, I think there's been many times that, you know, we have felt very challenged. We felt very stressed. Maybe we felt sick in our body. I was explaining this to Pastor Williford today, the different circumstances that hit us in different states. And as of today, we've hit over 38 different states in the last 13 months. And I felt like when I thought about that statistic, I almost felt weary and buckled in the knees a little bit. We've traveled close to about 60,000 miles, and that scares me a little bit in itself because I don't like to travel more than 5 hours at a time. But we've done that and surpassed that many times on the road already. And we've also faced insurmountable unknown questions about what is and when or how is things going to happen and what time is the Lord going to bring us home. And God, why have you even allowed us to do deputation? Is there not some kind of millionaire on this road that you want us to run into that just can send us home and get us off this forsaken trail of deputation? So I thought those things, and those have kind of been the questions of our life for the past 13 months. But I have truly learned, not just only in this little time that we've been dwelling on this, that there are seasons and times in our life, and they happen in and outside of the church. We have sometimes circumstances that hit us as though we feel they shouldn't happen. Sometimes we even pray, God, do not let it come my way. God, stay that thing. Don't let it hit my life, but inevitably they do. There are times that when God will speak to us and he will clearly tell us, the promise is coming. Your healing is right around the corner. Your situation is about to turn. And then yet we must all surrender in those times to his will, his time, because it is not our own. You see, none of us are exempt when it comes to life struggles. And truly, we can sit here today and agree together because it comes to all. It rains on the just and the unjust. But it was Solomon that wrote this in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. He says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And I like to believe that scripture is very, very important, but sometimes I like to not pray that scripture too much. There's another scripture in Joshua chapter 9, verse 12, where he says, this, our bread we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day that we came forth to go unto you. But now, behold, it is dry and it is moldy. In this story, you can read it for yourself in Joshua chapter 9, but just kind of stick with me for a moment. Joshua knew what he was describing to the people. He was telling them, Famine's going to come. Struggles are going to come. Things that you just don't want to see hit your life, they're just going to happen to us. They happen in the individual life as much as it does to the house of bread or in the church of the living God. Sometimes we come to church and we say, God, how can situations or how come I can come to the house of God and I don't even feel your presence? I didn't feel it at home when I was going through that situation, but here I am in the house of God and the place where I want to be comfortable, the place where I want to feel your presence, but here I am and I still don't feel nothing. But tonight we can all draw hope from what the Ecclesiastes 11 verse 1 says. It says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. I don't know about you, but this scripture has encouraged me a lot in the last few days to cast my bread upon the waters, for one day it's going to come back. I don't know how you look at the scripture, but that word cast means to forsake, or to push away, or to remove. There's often times that God will allow situations or things to come our way that we just need to neglect them and not pay much attention to them. I was recently preaching a message in a church where I was telling them and saying to them, listen, you probably saw some things that you just didn't want to see. But the Bible clearly tells us, it says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Oftentimes we in humanity will see things that will shake us to the core and situations that will rise up in our families where there's brokenness in homes, there's hurt and there's struggles. And especially at this time of year, Thanksgiving in December, coming up to Christmas, we all kind of tread very carefully because there's decisive things that have probably happened in families. And that's probably one of the biggest things that uprise at this time of year. But let me just tell you today, there's some things that you just need not dwell on, because there's coming a moment if you would just cast your bread upon the waters and believe that one day God is going to bring some fresh bread to you and you're going to be able to regain some strength and come out of those moments and know that, hey, I made it through this thing and I might have struggled and I might have been hurt and I might have been shook and I might have been disrupted to my very core, but I cast my bread upon the water. I had to move some things out of the way. I had to push through my struggle and know that one day it was going to return as a victory and a joy into my life. We've all heard the stories how, you know, you just got to hold on to Jesus through the storm. You got to hold on to Jesus through the storm. And, you know, I love it when people get up and share those kind of testimonies. But when you compare it to what you're going through, you're saying, I don't know how to do that. That's quite hard sometimes to hold on to Jesus with what I'm going through. But it's true to know. You got to understand something. What you're going through, you're not meant to stay where you are. God is saying, I'm bringing you through this, but there's a purpose and a plan. But you need not pay too much attention to what you're going through, because on the other side, I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to bring you out. I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to take you to another level. And I'll put you on a place where you need to be, where I want you to be. And so we can all assume and assess tonight that there will be dry seasons of life. But even on the dry ground, God can step into our moments and perform the miraculous. Even in the places where it seems impossible for God to work, we know that he can truly step in and do what he does best. There's a story in the Bible in Judges 13, verse 25, and I just want to reflect on that one scripture. But it says that at times God would strengthen Samson. And in this one particular instance, a lion came upon Samson and the Lord strengthened him to slay that lion that was in his path. It was the thing, the struggle that was before him, and God gave him strength to overcome it. And it was not long before Samson tread the same path on the way home, but this time he found honey in the carcass of the dead lion. You see, Samson made a decision to not run and tell everybody about the struggle of the lion prior to his second encounter. You see, there's a point to learn tonight that sometimes you go through things, but it's not for you to run to everybody else and share it with them, because oftentimes in humanity, and there was a test kind of done, it says that when you share negative things, you also turn somebody else around you negative as well. And so you might be going through something and you might be struggling with it, but my mindset to tell you tonight is, and what I feel the Holy Ghost trying to tell us in this church, in this service, is that we need to stay our eyes on God, and we need to stay on the path and stay on the course and stay in the church and stay fixed on what God is trying to accomplish, because you might be going through something, but you don't need to run around and tell everybody what you're going through. You just need to trust God. And so Samson made a decision not to run and tell everybody. He spared the story so he could one day share the glory with his family. You see, he could have easily told everyone of the struggle, but this time when he came upon that lion that he slayed on the road where God had strengthened him, he cast the bread of this victory on the water, so to speak, and one day it returned to him and it provided him honey so that he could feed his whole family. You see, he could have ran home and said, "Mom and Dad, look at this hardship that I went through." But no, he didn't do that. He spared the story and shared some glory with him. And he ran home and said, here's what God did, and here's what God's going to continually do. He told them, he said, "God's going to bring victory into my life, and God's going to bring victory into yours." I want somebody to know that God has never left you nor forsook you. He is on your side. You see, the point is this tonight. We have to learn to live between the times of great strength and great victory in our lives. Sometimes we have great victory. Sometimes we have great strength. But then there's other times where we ask the Lord, "Where are you? And what are you doing in my situation?" In Genesis chapter 13, verse 3, it says that Abraham pitched his tent between Bethel and Hai. Hai meant heap of ruins, and it was a Canaanite city or a representation of the world. Bethel meant the house of God, and it was eventually a border city by Benjamin and Ephraim after it was a place named by Abram when he sacrificed unto the Lord and called it so. You see, sometimes in our life it feels like we are between a heap of ruins and between the church. Sometimes it feels like we have pitched our home at the in-between place. The world on one side, the heap of ruins over here, and here's the church. And here I am right in between. And your home might feel like it is right there in between. Your life might feel like it is right there in between right now. And you might not feel like you're progressing or moving somewhere. But God is ready, undoubtedly, to bless in this moment, because there is an in-between the times that we have got to learn to live. But David said it like this. He said in Psalms 37:19, he says, "They shall not be ashamed in the evil times, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied." I want to tell somebody tonight that you might feel like you're struggling in a situation. You might feel like some things are about to mount up on your life, and you might feel a pushed against a wall. But God is looking at you and said, if you will just hold your head high and not be ashamed in the midst of your evil times or the battles that you're going through, you will feel satisfied in the midst of a famine. You might not feel the presence of God like you want to feel it on a Sunday or on Wednesday night or when you bow down on your knees and pray. But God says, just hold your head high, because there's coming a moment, if you will stay steadfast, if you will stay committed, if you will just keep walking the way that I've desired you to walk, I'm gonna reward you, and you will feel satisfied in the midst of your storm or the midst of your famine. See, if there's anything that the story of Ruth has told us or taught us, is that we have to make up our minds to lodge and stay in the church. There's something to be said for those that will stay in the church, or those that will make up their minds and say, I'm going to stay in the church no matter what. I learned from a very young age that, you know, the church is very important and very integral to our walk. I've seen many families come and go and leave the church from many different circumstances. I remember one lady in our church, and I can share this with you because you would never know who she is. As far as I know, she's still not come back to the church. But growing up, I remember this one lady that prayed and prayed for God to heal her. And in one service, we had a minister come in, and I'm talking about years she prayed for God to heal her. The downward look and spiral of her face every time she came in, she was not excited to be in the house of the Lord. She was just clinging that God would do something. And then finally, we had an evangelist come. And this woman had a mole on the size of her back that you could probably wrap two hands around. And it protruded out the back of her shirt. And in that one service, the evangelist said, God is going to heal some people in this place. She was one of them. That mole fell off the back of her back in the middle of service. and right onto the floor, and she reached to see if there was any blood. There was no blood. It was just complete skin, automatically healed. Within 3 weeks, that woman walked out of service and never came back again. And I looked on that and I said, God, I know them. I used to play games in their house. I used to eat with them because they lived right across the street. And I said, God, how can a woman like that just praying for years and years and then all of a sudden you do the miraculous and poof, she's gone, never to be seen again. Well, surely I didn't get an answer, but I found while I was studying and looking at some of these things that, you know, oftentimes people will try to cling to things and that keeps them in the church. But, you know, if you're here tonight and you're clinging to a promise and you're clinging to some prayers, those are great things to be doing and be focused on. That's why we come to church. We pray and ask God to move in our situation, move his hand and help us. And those are great things, but those are not the things that will keep you lodged in the church. Those are not the things that will keep you coming and keep you a steadfast saint of God, trusting no matter what situation arises. You see, you have to have a made up mind. There's something about the determined person that will come to church and say, I'm going to be a pillar in here. God, you can twist me. You can turn me. You can rock my world. You can take my life. You can knock me sideways. You can knock me out. You can put me down, but you will not move me from this church. There's something to be said about the person that will come to church and says, I'm going to stay no matter what I'm going through. I've got a lodging spirit. I've got a spirit that says, I'm going to stay where I needed or where I need to be. There's something to say about that person. Because in the middle of all their struggles, God is saying, I've looked upon you and I saw you where you are, and there's coming a moment of strength that I'm about to release. And if you will just keep a spirit of lodging and staying in the church, I will uphold you and I'm going to bring you out of what you're going through. You see, sometimes we lean on situations to keep us, but situations should not be the very thing keeping us in church. It should be our love for God. Our love to know him, our love to worship him. I recently, and I don't know why it took me so long, but it was a few years ago, I heard this statement, and it really changed my life. It might change yours tonight, I don't know. But I heard the statement, it says, a lot of you folks come to be blessed by God, but did anybody come to bless the Lord? I don't know, that changed my life. I still feel wild by that. It's okay if you don't, I'm wild by it. Still changing me. You know, but it's a simple concept in that. You say, if you come to church just to be blessed, you're not clinging on to much. But if you come to bless the one who will bless you eventually, then you have something that you're holding on to. It's about the anchor that you can hold on to. It's about the anchor that you can grab a hold of. I don't know what you're going through. God didn't reveal situations to me, but he did tell me that this word was for the church tonight and that it was for somebody here, that you're going through it and you're struggling in your mind and you're even trying to hide some of the things that you're going through. But God says, I see where you are and I saw that you showed up tonight, and that's why he's got a word for your spirit to bring you out of those dark moments and to bring you out of that hurt. He says, I'm waiting for you just to say, I'm going to stay and lodge myself here. And God is saying, I'm going to pull you out of that and I'm going to set you on higher ground. You got to lodge and stay in the church. Ruth taught us that. There might be an in-between moment going on right now in your life, but let me tell you, there's a place that we need to lodge and stay ourselves in. Genesis 13 tells us that even though Abram put himself between Bethel and Hai, he could not stay in between because it began to cause strife between him and his family Lot. You can read that in Genesis 13. All of a sudden, things started to happen in that in-between place. I want to declare to this church tonight, your life is not determined to stay right there in between. God is saying, I'm about to do some things, but you just got to move to the right place where I can do it in your life. You see, there's coming a moment where we need to move from in between to where the place that God can bless us. I'm a firm believer that you have to position yourself so God can bless you. You have to get his attention so that God can move his hand upon you. There's times that I believe that God will stand back and say, listen, you're still right where you are. You're not in the right place. How do you expect me to do it if you don't want to get in a position where I can bless you? And who was it that we used to talk about, the glory spout? Brother Free. Brother Free used to pray, and if you ever mention glory spout in Glasgow New Life Church, they get all excited and giddy about it, because Brother Free used to talk about in the prayer meetings, he used to say, You got to get where the glory is. You got to get where the spout is turned on. You got to get in the right position so God can pour it on you. I don't know about you tonight, but if God says you need to move somewhere and you need to get up and get yourself stayed in a place where I can bless you, guess what? I'm going to the place where God can bless me. I'm going to the place where He is going to work in my life. I'm getting to a place in just a moment. I know I'm kind of dodging a bit, but let me just stick with me. You see, sometimes there are things that we think will keep us being faithful to the church, you know, but we need to rely upon the very thing that is going to keep us in the church, and that is our love and attention, our relationship, and our passion to live for God. Let me explain something to you. It's not always just about making this decisions about what is right and wrong for our life. We all believe it is right for God to step into our situations immediately because that's what we want Him to do in our timing. But sometimes we feel wronged when He doesn't step into our situation. You see, the key decision to make in our life is not what is right or wrong, but to make it according to what will be good and what will be best to keep my life where I can be blessed in His time. You got to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You got to make up some determination tonight. You got to say that no matter what, I'm going to stick through it. No matter what, I'm going to keep. No matter what, I'm going to pray. No matter what, I'm going to read His word. No matter what, I'm going to trust what the word was preached. No matter what, I'm going to worship. No matter what, I'm going to praise and sing and dance and shout. No matter what, I'm going to go to prayer meetings. No matter what, I'm going to bring somebody to church. No matter what, I'm going to keep on praying that God will just keep moving in my life no matter what. I'm being very transparent when I share this story and testimony with you tonight because it is very near and dear to my heart. 20 years ago, my brother, a young man who used to preach in my dad's pulpit before he was a minister, my brother anointed, bold, 14 and 15, preached like so passionate and powerful. I mean, I wish sometimes I could have preached like he used to preach. 14 and 15, he preached powerful, and people would get the Holy Ghost. People would get healed. All of a sudden, in a moment, my brother saw our church split. We faced it together as a family. And please don't share this on Facebook and say this is what the missionary told you. Just I'm being transparent with you tonight in the church. We saw our church split. We saw it go different ways, and all of a sudden, there was a lot of visible hardships before his eyes, and it was before our family. But my brother took it wrong. He went from a young man that was preaching the word of God to literally saying to people, I want to kill them. He went up and many times my dad would have to stop him and chase him into the room. We used to have like bats for playing baseball. My brother, I remember one time went up to the room, tried to grab a baseball bat and run out the door. My dad had to land and jump on top of him. If you see my dad, if he does that, you're not moving anywhere. And jump on my brother and say, you're not going, Jeremy. You will not do that. My brother had some things before his eyes that he could not get out of his mind and get out of his kind of heart. And so eventually that all turned into bitterness and anger. My brother walked steadfast from the church straight into the world. He took his lodging. He took his staying spirit of being steadfast in a church family that was raised in the church and said, I'm going to lodge somewhere else. And he took himself and lodged himself in the world of sin. Five different times I can remember my brother being in jail. Three different times during Christmas, and those were hard Christmases. I remember my mom weeping on Christmas morning, not even being able to enjoy herself. Our family broken in many different ways, seeing what the hardship of Jeremy went through. I remember two different times specifically where I found my brother lying in a ditch of the small town that my dad was pastoring in. One time he had drunk so much that he thought he was invincible. I found out later it was 28 bottles of beer. And he had drunk so much, he had alcohol poisoning, and it was so severe that he needed to be hospitalized. Another time, I found him in a ditch. Somebody had beaten him up so bad, hit him in the bottle with a bottle over his head, and it didn't break. I found that out later as well, and it looked like he had two heads. Somebody had hit him so hard. He did not go to the hospital that time, and I remember myself getting down on my knees praying and saying, God, why are you allowing our family? Why is my brother, I was very close with him, still am to this very day. Why is my brother going through this? Why is there hardship? We were raised in the church. God, why are we going through these kind of things? What is going on? My brother picked up gambling, drinking, drugs, alcohol, selling drugs, every kind of thing. Every kind of thing you would think a church kid would never do, he did it. broke our family. We were in distress and we were kind of wondering, why are we going through this season of life? I remember my dad waking up at 5:30 in the morning praying and saying, God, surely, surely this will not continue. God, you're going to save our son. You're going to bring him out. Well, that went on for 20 years, just 10 years ago when we had to leave to go in the field. It broke my heart, but the Lord really impressed me in my prayer to not stop praying for Jeremy. And so we continued to pray, and our churches would pray for Jeremy. It wasn't until this year, January of this year, in the middle of January, we were actually in Illinois, and I was in a restaurant with the pastor, and the pastor, right in the middle of a Chinese buffet, I mean, I had noodles and rice probably everywhere you can think of, because I get excited with food and buffets. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, he points in my face while I'm eating. He said, Brother Beek, God just spoke to me and said, your brother will come back. I tell you what, I felt every dryness. I felt every despaired moment. I felt every moment where our family was broken. And I felt every time like, my God, all of a sudden, 20 years later, God, you're stepping in and you're telling me now this is the moment you're speaking to somebody else and you're going to bring my brother back. I tell you what, in that moment, I felt like, oh my goodness, some kind of faith began to stir. I reached over to my wife who was stuffing her face and I began to pray. I said, sweetheart, I said, drop your fork. We're praying right now. The restaurant was packed out. We leaned over to the table, linked with that pastor, and we began to pray for my brother right there, January of this year. It was kind of like a moment where we felt, God, if you're going to come to us now, we're going to just accept it because we're not going to leave this one behind. And so we began to pray, and within 2 weeks, we walk out of because of the time on a Friday night. And on that Friday night, Brother Cunningham prophesies 4 prophecies, and he says in those prophecies that backsliders were going to come back. And the Lord spoke to me very clearly. I never heard it so clear. He said, when you pray for your brother, all you pray for your brother is to be saved. And I said, God, that's what I want you to do, is save my brother. But God says, well, I'm going to give you the words to open up my hand and to move my hand to actually save your brother. And I said, all right, go ahead. I trust you, Lord. He said, all you need to pray is that I'm going to get the glory out of this situation. You see, oftentimes when we get down to pray for what we're going through or what our church is going through, we fix our eyes on the immediate situation, but we do not look beyond what God needs to do. And God said to me that night, and I leaned over again to my wife, I said, let's pray one more time. But this time, we're not going to fix our eyes on Jeremy being in jail, Jeremy being broken, Jeremy being a gambler and a drinker and an addict and all these things. We're not going to fix our eyes on that. We're going to look beyond and speak a word into the promise and say, God, if there's a promise and you said you were going to help us, God, we're going to speak into that right now. And we began to speak and say, God, get the glory and his testimony and let it be so and yea and amen. And God, let it be done. 2 days later, I get a phone call and my mom calls me and she's all drama. My mom, if you know my drama, Sister Amber knows, but I thought somebody was dying and I said, spit it out, mom. And my wife's looking at me, she's like, what's happened? What's happened? I said, I'm trying to find out. I said, spit it out, mom. She said, your brother called me and today he was on the job site. My brother is a sheet metal worker and he was on the job site. He dropped his tools and he ran home to his wife and to his 4 kids. And he said, sweetheart, he says, I know the voice of God. And God spoke in my ear for the first time in 20 years. And God told me, it is time right now to come home, son. My brother walked back into church January 30th of this year, and he's not missed a service since. Why? Because I said, I'm not going to fix myself on the problem, but I'm going to cast my faith on beyond and ask God to get the glory in this situation. And within 2 days, God moved his hand. Why? Somebody needs to lodge themselves where God is so he can move in your situation, and then you need to pray beyond it and ask God to get the glory for everything that he wants to do. We want to dwell on the situation, but God wants to heal it and get the glory out of the situation. Since then, my wife's My brother's wife has got the Holy Ghost. His two oldest boys have got the Holy Ghost. Jeremy's prayed back through. And guess what? God is getting the glory because he's in one of the most drug-riddled cities in Welland, Ontario, Canada, where my pastor, it's their second campus church. And my pastor tells me, he says, Jeremy is at church an hour before I'm at church. And he's meeting people on the steps. He's meeting people at the door. And he's praying them through to the Holy Ghost. And he's telling them, listen, you don't have to live a life of drugs. You don't have to live this life anymore. Guess what? We stayed in the church. We found a place to stay no matter what my brother was going through. We said, God, we're going to make it up in our mind. It doesn't help me if I go somewhere else and lodge myself, but it does help him if I stay in the church and I lodge myself with you, God, because I know one day you're going to open up the windows of heaven and you're going to bring my brother back. I've come to tell somebody tonight, don't you quit on God. Don't you quit because you're going through it, but you just keep holding on. You keep believing for the great revival. You keep believing for the harvest. You keep believing for the answer to come. You keep believing for your help to come from the Lord, because it's going to come. You just got to find yourself stayed in the church. Would you clap your hands unto the Lord tonight? Hallelujah. I'm coming to a close in just a few moments here. If we look back at the story of Naomi. Naomi relocated with her mother-in-law to Bethlehem during the harvest season. And during that time, they were both going through it. They had both lost their husband. Naomi, her husband. Ruth, her husband. But she had made up her mind that she was going to go on to the place that was going to change her life. Her sister Oprah went back home, but Ruth decided, said, I got nothing back there, but I've got surely some things ahead of me that I want to walk into. And so she told her mother in Ruth chapter 2, the first few verses, she said, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. You see, Ruth made up her mind that she wanted to walk out into the field and work until she found grace. She didn't know that she was going to immediately find grace. She said, I just want to walk to the place where I can go and I can work and I can labor, be in the right place where I can eventually find some grace. She wasn't assuming that grace was going to find her, that she was going to get the answer for her life, that all her hardships that were just recently behind her were going to turn around and that all of a sudden a great opportunity. No, she didn't know those things off hard and God had not spoken to her. She just had a spirit that said, I'm going to go to the place where I need to be, where I can find grace and where I can go and just put my hands to the plow and I can work. See, there are people here tonight that need to get a lodging spirit about staying in the field, staying in the work, and staying where God has called you. You might not feel called to be a missionary. You might not feel called to be a pastor, but you need to stay lodged in this church and in the field of labor that this church has for you. Because no matter what you're going through, God still needs you for his kingdom, and he still needs you for the work that is yet to be done right here in this church. That story tells us that her hap, when she walked out into the field, was light. But along came a man that knew her story and was going to bless her while in that field. You see, there's something about being where you can find grace from the one who can actually give it to you. We need to position ourselves tonight. David said it like this in Psalms 119, 31. He says, I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. I've stuck, Lord, unto your testimonies. Don't put me to shame, God. Don't let me just rot away, but God, be there for me. He also said in Psalms 119, 81, reading one of my favorite portions of scripture here, he says, my soul fainteth for salvation, for thy salvation. He said, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet I do not forget thy statutes. How many are thy days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon the earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep thy testimony of thy mouth. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven, and thy faithfulness is unto all generation. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. I've come to tell somebody tonight that we need some sticking power under the things that God wants us to stick to. We need to stick to the church, and we need to stick a hold under the word of God and say, God, I'm going to hold on to the promise no matter what I'm going through, no matter what I'm struggling with. God, I'm going to stick to this walk with you, and I'm going to continue along this way until you bless me and until you strengthen me. As I was praying this week and the last couple days, I clearly needed a directive from the Lord, because it's not normal for me just to preach a non-missionary sermon. We've been doing this for the last little while. Yes, we get to minister in services. But I spoke to the Lord and I said, God, who is this word for? I said, God, who is this word for tonight? And the Lord was very clear. And I have a love and fondness for your pastor. And the Lord spoke to me and said, the word is for your pastor and for this church. Very clearly, I felt that the word was for your pastor and for this church. It's not that your pastor is going through hardships. He probably does have his own fair share. But the Lord began to speak to me a little bit specifically that your pastor has been praying for some things that are yet unanswered. And God has been saying, listen, I'm about to do some things in his life. And there's this church body here tonight that, yes, they might be struggling in a few things. And God was saying, listen, I want them to know tonight that I'm their God and I'm going to help you through some of your struggles. And there's going to be an answer that is going to come your way. In the story of Ruth Hap, and this is what I want to finish with tonight. Ruth Hap, or the word Hap, means in the Strong's Concordance says, it is an unseen meeting or a chance in your life. An unseen meeting or a chance in your life. And Ruth had her hap in the field, and it was very, very light. The Bible said her hap was very, very light in her hand. Kind of speaks to the fact that her strength was drawing very, very dim in her life because of the circumstance that she was in the midst of and the heartache that she was struggling with, the loss and the new steps that she was taking in her life. But in the field where she needed to lodge herself, her hap was very light, drawing to a close and drawing to a place where she had almost no more strength. But that word hap means that an unseen meeting or a chance in your life. And this is what the Lord spoke very clearly to me in my prayers. And even tonight, I feel the Holy Ghost confirming this. And this is a prophetic word for the church and for your pastor. Before this week is out, and before this next new year is coming around, there is about to be an unseen meeting that is sent from the Lord that is going to bless this church and bless your pastor. There is an unseen meeting that is about to come your way. You've been struggling, you've been hurting, you've been in the midst of the storm, and you've been feeling like, where is God? But God has sent me tonight to tell you that he is about to bless somebody and to open a door before you, and you just need to stick to the path and stick to the church and stick to your walk in relationship with God, and don't you even ever dare allow the ideas of giving up. Just say, God, I'm going to hold on and hold on until you come and bless me. Somebody needs to receive the word tonight in Jesus' name. Ruth was blessed by Boaz, but you can ask sufficiently who told Boaz about her. It doesn't tell you in the story who told Boaz about her. But once you make up your mind to live for God, he can write anybody into your story. You don't need to worry about it. He will open the doors. He can change your history, and he can rewrite your future with a hap moment. There can be an unseen meeting and an unseen moment or a chance happening in your life that God can rewrite everything. You might feel like you've been beat up, pushed sideways, pushed down, knocked over, but God says, I'm about to give you a hap moment. where I'm going to change the story of your life, and I'm going to change the next step that you will take. Some of you are not with me tonight, but I feel this in the Holy Ghost to share with you one more time. God is about to bless somebody. God is about to bring a chance meeting before your way. It might come from somebody, but it might come directly from the Lord. I feel that specifically in the Holy Ghost. There's somebody here that you're struggling in your thoughts and in your mind, and you're saying, I was about to give up. I was about to walk out of here, but God is saying, don't you give up. Don't you let go. I'm your God, and I want to bring something your way. Just find a spirit of stick-to-itness and say, God, I'm going to hold on. I'm not giving up on your presence. I'm not giving up on my relationship. I'm not giving up on my walk, but I'm going to be faithful, and I'm going to be steadfast. God wants you to be steadfast, but you got to make up your mind tonight that you're going to do it. 1 Corinthians 15:58, I'm finishing. You can stand with me tonight. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is never in vain in the Lord. Your labor is never in vain in the Lord. God has not allowed you to go through something that he's not ready to bring you out of it. Unprecedented revival is about to shake this world. Revival is about to happen. I can't even get my thoughts around so much our family future, because every time I pray, God does not allow me to pray so much about my future. I'm a planner. I like goals. I like five-year terms, and I think we need to have some of those things, but God has not allowed me to focus on those things, because I feel like God's saying there's more important things that I need you to be focused on. There's revival that is about to shake this church, that some of you can't even see it, but it's going to happen. One day, these doors are going to be parted wide open, and people are going to come in, and they're going to, and the church is going to need you to reach out your arm and begin to pray for them. And there's going to be some, I just feel this in the Holy Ghost tonight. God has looked down on this church, and he said, I've seen your sacrifice. There's such a harder sacrifice. There's such a willing spirit in this church, and there's such a hunger in this church for the things of God. And in the midst of all those things that you have stuck to and that you have stayed faithful in, God is saying, I'm about to reward you. Some of you have family that you've been praying for. Some of you even need a miracle in your body. And I feel in the Holy Ghost, God says, I'm about to release a hap moment upon you. There's a moment that I'm about to just release where you are going to get a touch, and it's going to be a time of strength and a time that will carry you to the next moment. You might not have it always, but it will carry you. It will be a victory that will carry you through to the next one. God is for us. He's not against us. And he's in this place tonight. I don't know where you are in your life, and I don't know what your struggles are. God didn't show me any of that, but he just told me the encouraging word that he wants you to know. Somebody's got to believe tonight in the word, and somebody's got to let their faith be encouraged that God is going to help you. God is going to do what he said he would do. The Bible clearly says that all the promises of God in him are yea, and they are amen. You need to hold on to that word tonight, that they are yea and amen, that God is wanting to reward you for your faithfulness. God wants to reward somebody for their faithfulness. I want to open this altar just for a moment. I know I've gone a little bit longer. I'll just blame it on Pastor Willard for giving me liberty tonight. And he'll forgive me. I know he will. I want to open this altar just for a moment on a Wednesday night, just for a couple minutes, if we could just come up. If you're struggling with something, would you just take a step of faith? If this word is for you tonight, that you need a moment, that you need God just to step into your situation and come meet you where you are. I know there's a few people in here that need to be up here. Thank you for responding tonight. I want us to do one thing when you come. I want us to pray one thing together. Immediately when you come up front, you're going to be thinking about what you're facing, what your struggle is, what your worry is, and what you're going to go home to from this service tonight. If I could just ask one favor of you, could you just please pray, not for the situation, but pray beyond it. I want faith to be released in this house tonight. And I want us just to extend our faith. And I want you to try to cast your eyes and cast a line of hope. Cast your faith beyond what you're in the midst of right now. Kind of maybe just cast your bread upon the water a little bit and say, God, when it returns, it's going to be a blessing and a miracle for the kingdom. And I'm going to rejoice and thank you. Would you lift your hands across this altar tonight and say, God, whatever I'm going through, I need you to get the glory in my situation. Whatever my struggles and my hardships and my worries are, God, I want you to be blessed. I want you to be worshiped. I want this to be turned around as a testimony for your glory. If it's healing in your body, I want you to pray into your healing and just speak a word tonight. If it's a situation, I want you to pray and say, God, bring my family back together. Lord, I know you're going to put them back together. I know you're going to heal things. I know you're going to put it all back together the way it should be. Speak a word of faith tonight over your situation and let God just begin to heal. Come on, I believe we're going to move the hand of God right now when you speak a word of faith. You're going to move his hand to work in your life. You're going to move his hand to move upon your situation. And that hap moment is about to come your way. But you got to speak a word of faith over your need right now. Come on, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Come on, that's it. Come on, don't let that spirit quiet just for a moment. Just let's push our faith a little bit more. God sees those tears. He sees that struggle. He sees the heaviness. You might feel battle-worn. You might feel weary tonight. But one more moment, lift your hands and say, God, I'm going to lodge myself in the church. I'm going to stay where I'm needed to be so I can position myself for you to work in my life. God, I'm going to be right where you need me to be so you can work, Lord. I believe that you're my healer. I believe you're my help, oh God. I know you're my strength, Lord Jesus. Yes, 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 Lord. I believe it. I believe it. Come on. I feel faith in the house tonight. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.